And we are live.
Here we go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to On the Bench. It's our weekly, I guess now, podcast and stream where we talk about the latest in what Minger's doing, technology, geek culture, whatever we're particularly interested in. I'm Ron Reed, the marketing director here at Main Gear, and today I have with me, we have a special guest.
Special, special.
I'm Sean, director of product development.
Oh, that could not have been more awkward.
And Brent Fisher, community manager, now have a mic on set, so not used to talking.
we upgraded Brent after the last live stream, so yeah. Now he's got one of our fancy mics, so you can hear his beautiful booming voice. So welcome, everyone. Just so you're all aware, we are watching chat. So if you have any questions or comments about what we're talking about, we are gonna we're all watching chat. So we'll let you guys kind of chime in. So real quick, just some Main Gear updates for the week. We decided to extend our flash sale from last weekend. So for our Memorial Day sale this year, we're doing pretty great instant savings on all of our systems, up to $250 off. So if you're looking to get a PC, a custom Main Gear PC, that's a great way to get one. But we're also doing $50 off our Staged Vibes, so our enthusiast pre-config Vibes. Yep. So those are really well-crafted Main Gear PCs designed for different performance levels, and we're doing $50 flat off of all of them. They ship typically the next day. We say two business days, but in general, it's always the next day. So if you need to get a new PC, definitely check out our savings. Also, if you're watching this, we also now have an audio-only version of the stream available on all of your favorite platforms. Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Radio Public. That was a mouthful, Brent.
All the platforms.
All the platforms.
There you go.
So if you prefer to listen to this, definitely check that out. I know I listen to a lot of podcasts, so I'm really excited that we're doing an audio format. So I guess let's get started. So we started something last week that was a little bit different. You know, if you guys have watched the last couple streams, we've talked about our BeNext program, which is essentially an initiative here in Main Gear in order to empower the next generation of content creators, streamers, gamers. And we decided we wanted to focus on a member of that community every single week. So, Brent, who is our BeNext feature creator this week?
So this week, it's Jay Viper.
Can you tell us a little bit about Jay? Like, how long has he been with us? And
so Jay joined us after PAX, came and met us at our PAX booth, and was really interested in what everything Main Gear was doing. Jay is hilarious.
As we can see there.
Yeah, he's a total blast. If you go watch his stream, he has like this thing in there where you can redeem points to make him like dance to songs.
That is fantastic.
Randomly, it's the best. And then Jay has been with Twitch back since the days it was Justin TV.
I always forget Twitch started as Justin TV.
Right.
And almost every time I remember that Hugh Laurie has a British accent.
Yeah.
Just from watching House for so long, I forget mentally that he actually has a British accent.
Yeah.
The same way when I find out Twitch was Justin TV, my mind gets blown every single time because I just completely forget about it.
He's actually famous in your Twitch emotes. So, he's how they have those global emotes with all the different people. He's the pound one who's going like this.
Yeah. Chat seems to really like his content. Brent, where can they find him?
So twitch.tv/JViper, JAYVIPER.
And we are, doing a little swag giveaway with him right now. Could you just talk about what the details are of that?
Yeah. So he's doing a giveaway with another one of his sponsors, but you can also you can enter to win one of those things. But then I'm trying to be vague. But you can also win a Main Gear swag pack. So hat, T-shirt, stickers, the whole nine yards.
Okay. And I guess we'll post the link in chat of how
we'll
to do that.
Yeah, we'll get it up there.
We also decided for this week to just extend our 9,900K giveaway. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, we did a awesome, like, informative stream about our staged four vibe and like who it was created for. As a quick overview, our stage four vibe is designed for content creators and 4K gaming. Mm-hmm. As part of that, we're giving away a 9900K. You just go to maingear.com/i9giveaway to enter. We're going to leave it open until probably, I think, Monday.
Yeah, through Memorial Day.
We'll announce the winner on our next stream. So tune in next week, Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, if you want to find out if you want it. But all you have to do is go to maingear.com/i9giveaway. There's a bunch of different ways to enter, and you have a chance to win a 9900K amazing processor for everything you could ever do with it. Content creation, gaming, whatever you throw at it, the 9900K is easily going to be able to handle it. So I wanted to do a new kind of segment this week, and let us go know what you guys think. But I wanted to talk about what games we are currently playing. Yeah, I'm trying to game a little bit more. I just had a baby, or my wife had a baby. So I'm trying to personally devote more time to gaming again. Yeah. But I wanted to talk about kind of what we all are playing currently. So, Brent, what have you been spending your time doing? I think at lunch today you were actually playing it.
Yeah. So I've been playing Octopath Traveler, which it's hard for me to describe to you, so I'm just going to bring up a trailer.
It's a side scroller, right?
Yeah. So let's just, I'll put this on the screen while we watch.
But I guess the easiest way to say it's like a side scroller.
So it's RPG. This cool RPG done by Square Enix. And the art style is really cool because it's like all pixelated, but then there's like a depth of field effect on it.
Art style looks like an old Final Fantasy.
Yeah. So same guys that made Final Fantasy.
Okay.
It looks really cool.
And there's 8 different characters, and you choose who you want to start with, which is really cool. And so there's like a knight, a merchant. I started with, there's a dancer, which is, it sounds weird, but her story is so interesting because like her dad gets killed and then she wants to seek vengeance. So she becomes a dancer to like find this guy out in the desert.
And now she's pretending.
Yeah. And now she like fights people with daggers and dances.
This looks super interesting.
It's so cool looking.
So are the enemies larger than life, basically?
Yeah. So it's
exaggerated.
It's just all pixelated and just beautiful.
Is it turn-based combat?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like traditional JRPG.
This looks fantastic, but it's only side-scrolling.
Yeah.
But with a bit of like...
It's like an old... can't talk. Like a map, but it's just made 3D to...
Okay. That looks absolutely incredible.
So yeah, I picked it up because of the way it looked, and it's really fun, actually. I really like it. It's available on PC now, too.
How's the writing on it?
The writing's pretty good. I mean, the story's not bad.
Is there voice acting, or is it...
Yeah, there is, actually.
So it's not just text.
Style.
Yeah, the voice acting is really good too.
I can't play RPG games that are just text based. I mean I know.
It's hard, like.
So like the minor scenes are obviously not voice acted, but like all the major stuff is, and the voices are like really good and different for each character.
It is so hard. Like, I try every like once a year. I try to go back and play like an older JRPG that I loved and. It is so hard. Not the gameplay, but like you're right, like not having the impact of voice acting.
Yeah.
Just it's so tough to kind of get into. And then also older games where voice acting started and you realize how bad it, like Final Fantasy X, for example, at the time it seemed like the like best production and great, like,
well, that's just because the FMVs were like so beautiful,
but you go back now and you're like, oh my god, the writing is terrible.
Yeah,
the voice acting is super bad.
No, the writing in this is really good.
Okay.
And the mechanics are not complicated enough where it's still fun.
That's awesome. And it's available on Steam right now.
Yeah, Steam and Switch.
Awesome. So definitely check that out. That sounds like something I would want to play.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. And Sean, what have you been playing lately?
So lately I've been playing The Division 2.
You've been talking about it a lot.
Yes. And I'm actually pretty happy with it. It's definitely a lot better than the first Division, especially the world itself. you'd be surprised how much you can do with Washington, D.C.
How broken down is D.C. in it?
It's massive, and okay. Everything. They cover almost everything. And there's obviously a slight difference from the original division. You know, you can't enter most of the buildings.
That kind
of
stinks.
But the buildings that you can enter are much more diverse and open and lots of levels.
There's a lot of really small buildings in Division One.
Right. And they were all repeated. You know, the path and layout are all the same. This one's, each building that you get into are unique.
Okay.
And different from each of them.
Is the gameplay still this? So the thing about the Division that personally made me bounce off of it was I always have problems in a game where you're fighting humans and they're bullet sponges.
Yes.
I don't know why. It bugs me. Like,
so they make it a little bit more realistic in the sense that your higher level enemies, like the bosses, have these insanely huge suits.
Okay. Armor suits. So they're like armored at least.
Okay.
Yes. Instead of like, I put 30 bullets in this guy's head and he's still not dead.
Yeah. So you're hit-shotting somebody and they have this massive
Everyone's
helmet.
Wearing helmets.
Yeah. And then you just see that armor fall apart as you keep shooting it.
Okay.
And then if you have a high enough, like let's say a shotgun, and the helmet broke off and he's just exposed, and you shoot from point blank, he almost dies instantly.
Okay.
So it's very, it's a little bit more realistic.
That's cool. Because that definitely bugged me. And then I know you've only been playing single player.
Yeah.
Like, the other thing that bugged me about the game was I felt like the multiplayer was this weird loot grind where you were getting loot but had nothing to do with the loot. And so the point of continually getting better loot didn't make any sense because there wasn't anything to really go and do with it.
Right.
Do you know what they... I know you haven't played it, but you probably know what they've changed.
So to be honest, I really don't know because I play most games for the single player aspect of it. But I haven't heard any complaints or issues with this one.
Okay.
And it does look a lot better in whatever they changed.
I do like the Division One was one of the best renditions of New York City.
Which I really love.
Ever in a video game.
That and Lego Marvel Superheroes.
Is that from an accuracy standpoint, Brent?
Or? I mean, their version had the Stark Tower in New York City, I'm giving them the points there.
It's always super weird when two things. One, like when you play a video game with like a place you recognize and you get that feeling of like being somewhere you know.
Yep.
But the opposite, where like the first time I went to like LA after playing Grand Theft Auto and like, oh, okay, I know where this is.
Yep.
It's like the reverse, but it's equally like it feels so familiar, even though you've never been there because you went there in a video game.
Right.
So I actually started finally Red Dead Redemption 2.
So good.
I'll admit publicly I never finished the first one because Mexico became such a slog in Red Dead 1 that it ruined the pacing of the game for me.
At least you played it. I never even played
it. Right,
right. Which is a problem.
And guys in chat, we'll answer questions if it's kind of in line with what we're talking about. Mr. Fuzz, I wasn't really sure what you asked, so that's why I didn't answer it. I apologize. There's just the Rockstar touch to a game that is so different than most game developers. Like, I think CD Projekt has their own flavor of that touch, from like a level of detail.
I'm trying to think what other developers tell stories as good as these two. I'm trying to think. I can't.
It's just crazy, like just subtle stuff, like when you go to a gun shop and the pamphlets that they like artfully made, that's like a ad for the gun that you're buying. It looks like a piece of paper.
Attention to detail.
It's so amazing.
Well, that's like what it comes down to in games, right? Like that last 2% of polish is what makes a game good or not.
Of course. It's most of the time. It's what really, and like I will like I will say it still has that Rockstar jank. Like I've gotten arrested so many times because the controls are awkward and you just end up shooting someone in town and you're like, oh great, now
the
I got a bounty
in
my head.
The game's just so in depth that like they couldn't map enough buttons to standard controllers.
It's a little overwhelming, but
I feel like you need that old like was that it was like Mech Warrior or something? The big like just super
it was like a
16
two
button
$300 controller.
Yeah,
that was
just to play where
to
Red
just
Dead.
That game. what's up, Jay Viper? You are a featured BNext content creator of the week.
Yeah. Oh, I also wanted to mention with Jay. So he's going to be revealing the winner of his contest on his stream later tonight at 9 p.m.
Awesome! There so go. Sign up for the giveaway.
Steel Battalion, that's what
Steel
it was.
Battalion.
Yeah.
but yeah, so I've been enjoying Red Dead a lot. I play most Rockstar games twice. I play them on the console first, and then I play them with mods on the PC.
Which mm-hmm. I can't wait.
Just because it's so great. And people asking about the contest, there are two giveaways. We have one going for a swag pack with Jay Viper. We'll post the link again in chat, Brent, if you could do that. And then
it looks like my chat's broken.
And then we're also giving away a i9 CPU. That's mingear.com/i9 giveaway. So you have leaving the giveaway for the i9 until Monday. So if you're watching this over the weekend, you could still enter.
So that's the thing, right, Ron, about going back to storytelling in games. A lot of games focus heavily on the main missions, and then their side missions are just repetitive.
For me, the side quest is what separates
exactly
an incredible game from a great game.
Yeah, exactly.
Witcher 3, Red Dead, most Rockstar games.
Yeah.
Rockstar does a really good job of doing these like conceptual side missions that are. The gameplay is different than the rest of the game. Like mm-hmm. GTA 5 had a bunch of missions that were just ridiculous with Trevor and things like that. And that don't take you out of the game, but it's like a whole different experience.
Right.
And it's something you wouldn't want to do over and over again.
Yeah.
But as like a one and done kind of weird, interesting
thing. Like a horse
thing.
Race in Witcher 3. Like
yeah.
That
well,
has
I,
no context.
I actually disagree. That's the worst part of the Witcher 3.
Well, it is a bad race.
Any.
I mean, the horse race was
any
horrible.
Race is terrible.
Terrible.
Red Dead does have the best option ever, which is if you hold an X while you're following someone, you match their speed while you're on horseback, which is fantastic.
The autopilot
it's
features.
Fantastic. I literally spent like an hour... two nights ago just hunting deer.
Yeah.
Just on the ground with a bow hunting deer.
But can you fish?
Yeah. I haven't gotten
a fish rod yet.
I guess I have to go buy one, but can fish. you can hunt all the animals. They have a lot of like different like epic beasts that you can hunt. You get like a map in the beginning of the game and they're like really hard fights. I got mauled by a bear a couple times. Standard Red Dead stuff.
Of course. Did the bear come out of nowhere?
Kind of.
Just behind a tree.
And then I panicked and I just didn't shoot him and he was just destroying me.
Wait, you shoot randomly accidentally shoot people in town but not a bear.
Yeah, I know. I can't shoot a bear. But I'm super enjoying
very
it.
Animal friendly.
So
tree hugger.
Speaking of bad storytelling.
Oh.
And Brent, you'll be a little not involved in this conversation, but
that's okay. I can moderate.
So there are spoilers warnings ahead. So if you haven't watched the final episode of Game of Thrones this season,
mute this.
Fair
no,
warning.
Don't leave. Just mute it.
Yeah,
and
just
then we'll tell you when it
comes. Just
come
mute
back.
It, and then we'll give you a thumbs up.
Yeah,
when
Brent.
We're
done. Brent will come back. Yeah.
But I just wanted to briefly talk about. The season finale. So we have 8 seasons of build up. I mean, how many hours total is Game of Thrones? Like,
I have no.
An hour per episode per season, 12.
If you're averaging it, because.
It was 75 episodes, so it's at least 75 hours.
I would make it, yeah. 80, maybe 80, because there's a lot.
No, it's probably like 80 or 90 hours total.
Yeah.
And. You know, up until season 6, I think most people were really, really, really happy with Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Like, it had followed the books up until season 5 and then kind of went on its own, but season 6 was good. Last season was kind of meh.
7, you mean?
Yeah. Last season. Mm-hmm. But man, I personally think that this finale is going to go down as one of the worst show finales of all time. And I'm curious, everyone who's watching watching this live, I'd love to hear what you guys say, because it's tough to tell what the pulse of people are on the internet, because we have a news item later in the show that kind of talks about this a little bit, but if you look on Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb, I think this episode has like a 4.1
score. The last two episodes have been the lowest.
Yeah. 10. Out of 10. Which, if you look compared to like, it's super, super low.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sean.
Okay.
Honest opinion. You could talk about this whole last season or just this last episode. What did you think of how the show ended? Or what were your problems with it? I know when we were talking, you spent a lot of time complaining to me about, like, Sean literally said to me, you know, I played a lot of
Stronghold,
so I'm really an expert tactician when it comes to large battles. And
well, that scene really, really frustrated me, because obviously they did everything wrong.
Yeah.
And they did not use dragons for tactical reasons, only except to try to get the Night King.
Right.
Or to protect from the Night King.
But the last episode and how the show ended, what are your honest opinions?
So, to be clear, first of all, I am not the type of person who, well, apparently I am, but for somehow I did not really care how it ended. I find it very silly.
Okay.
Especially the last, 60 minutes?
So I just super, if you haven't seen it, and just a brief, they build up, you know, this basically whole two characters throughout the show.
Right.
Jon Snow and Daenerys.
Yep.
And they build up these two characters to kind of like, one of them is going to eventually get the Iron Throne or become like king or queen of the realm.
Right.
And essentially in the last episode, they killed Daenerys, and then a character that they didn't really focus on becomes king. And that is what's kind of left.
So in the words of Jaime Lannister,
ooh,
in the end, nothing matters. Nothing matters, because whatever they've built up all the way till, you know,
it kind of all got thrown out the window.
Exactly.
Which I'm okay with. Like, I love the idea of, and a lot of people are making fun of the writers for this, of like subverting expectations.
Yeah.
Like, I love the idea of that.
Definitely.
You know, I just finished the first two seasons of Westworld, and that was a show that kind of subverted my expectations a lot, but it did it in a way that I liked. And Game of Thrones traditionally kind of did that. It did a lot of things that you didn't expect.
Right.
You know, killing main characters and story changes, and but
ultimately it boils down to how quickly they did things in season 8.
Right.
Like, not everything, it was just thrown out and then just, oh, here you go. Now everyone has a new character arc out of nowhere.
I was listening to a podcast, and the way they described what the writers did, it was as though the writers, when they ran out of material, reverted to the initial like character archetype for their entire actions and personality. Like, it was like they got rid of all the progress they made and were like, oh, well, you know, Jon Snow wants to do this, and like just kind of focused on their core character description and abandoned all of the,
which I think is fine, because the core part of, let's say for example, Daenerys, the core part was that she is a Targaryen, and there's this possibility that she is mad actually, and they proved that she is mad. It's just how they got there in the last season was just,
it was super rushed. Daniel says, Martin on Facebook says, not the worst ending, just look at Lost.
Oh, yeah, well.
Okay, yeah.
That Ron knows very well.
I can totally agree about that. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, I'm okay with the story arc that Game of Thrones took.
Yeah.
I think it was just poor execution, yeah. rushed storytelling, and honestly bad writing and not enough setup for what ended up happening.
Right.
You know, I think the reason there's such big disappointment is just because of how popular the show was. And if you were nerdy about this, which I kind of got, and you looked into the books, there's such rich like lore and mysticism and a lot of stuff in his writing.
Like you said, Bran has way more things in the book.
He's way more interesting of a character. And so I think what happened was, is without the text from Martin, they just weren't able to execute on it correctly, and they didn't want to keep extending it. Probably so they could go work on a Star Wars movie.
Which is
But at least there were the memes, because the memes have been hilarious. I was originally gonna send Brent like a bunch of collections of memes to just show in the background while we were talking about.
So probably my favorite tweet that's come out of this is that. It's been compared to, it's like you're on this epic D&D campaign and like just like the best D&D campaign you ever mm-hmm. have been on, but then your dungeon master has to move, so you got to wrap this thing up in like 3 days.
And then at the end he just flips the table over and he's like, sorry guys.
Cool.
So
all right, so we're back to non-spoilers.
Non-spoilers.
There you go.
Oh man, I'm terrible. So I wanted to talk about a video I saw this week. Super informative. So NVIDIA did a video with Linus Tech Tips that kind of went over what?
Jake says it's more like your dungeon master just leaves so your drunken dwarf finishes the campaign.
So
essentially anything.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about this Linus Tech Tips video. He did. He got like a secret tour of NVIDIA's G-Sync testing facility.
Yeah.
I recommend highly going to check out this video.
Yeah, it's really cool, and it's so in-depth and way more than you think.
So for those of you who don't know, G-Sync is an NVIDIA technology that essentially allows your monitor's refresh rate to match up with the frames per second you're getting in-game.
Yeah.
They have three layers to it, or three different kinds of G-Sync. There's G-Sync compatible, which is essentially, it's using DisplayPort's adaptive sync built into the monitor to sync it to the display. There's some limitations on that. They basically approve displays and then whitelisted in GeForce Experience, and then you're able to do it with those displays.
Right.
There's standard G-Sync, and then there's G-Sync Ultimate. Both standard G-Sync and G-Sync Ultimate are hardware-based implementations. Mm-hmm. The difference being that G-Sync Ultimate is HDR, multi-zone lighting in the monitor, very high refresh rates.
Right.
And basically what it does is it gives you a smoother gaming experience, no tearing. The two upper levels of G-Sync remove visual artifacts. So if you have like a 2080 Ti, and you want the best experience possible, you're going to want a G-Sync monitor to get really ultra smooth gameplay.
Right.
We got to see one of the BFGDs at CES this year, and it's like, it's shocking to see a 55-inch HDR display with G-Sync running as smooth, as higher frame rate.
It's unreal. It's like,
it's kind of like a glitch in the Matrix.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't supposed to exist.
100%. Right. Like it's one of the, I haven't had that moment in a long time where I was like, wait, what? What is, like, my brain had a hard time processing just because with such a big, big screen.
No, you're accustomed to like a standard TV.
It was amazing.
And it's different from having like those high refresh rate TVs. It feels normal, and real, but it's just very fluid.
It's kind of like the first time you ever saw like a 60 frames per second like video,
mm-hmm.
where it looks like it, your brain is like, wow, like this looks.
But not that like crappy stuff you see on other TVs.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Where it's like.
Like accelerated or.
Yeah,
or
I hate that stuff
yeah,
so
and,
much.
And the monitor we're talking about is the BFGD. It's a, there's a series of monitors. They're basically 55-inch gaming TVs that NVIDIA co-developed. So what this Linus video kind of outlines is, you know, GeForce has always been a more expensive than a standard monitor. And NVIDIA talked a little bit, you know, publicly mm-hmm. about, you know, the fact that they have to, like, test these things. There's a lot of technology that went into it. But Linus's video goes into the testing process, and it's crazy how much they do to test these screens.
Yeah, to show you that it's not just throwing a sticker on that says,
right.
like, it's energy efficient.
Hours and hours of testing, sometimes even days just for one single
test.
Well,
and they like, he said they fail 50% of monitors right off the bat.
Yeah.
And that's important because especially with the GeForce compatible monitors, mm-hmm. they have very strict guidelines as to what will work with that. They have like a frame rate guidelines of where it needs to work. They have quality guidelines when it comes to latency.
Yeah.
But the testing that they do on the like the full G-Sync experience is nuts. They do a breakdown. They have these really cool custom jigs to test mobile monitors, which was like it's amazing. They made a custom test PCB with a mobile GPU on it, and then every single monitor, laptop monitor output on the back of the card.
Yeah, so like the Franken card 9000, basically.
They run a lot of tests, so they test that the monitor isn't basically having any artifacts or weird problems.
If
the frame rate is super changing a lot, was one of the things that I thought was really cool.
Well, and like color accuracy and like even brightness accuracy.
Yeah,
because like G-Sync Ultimate, you have like I think it's 1,000 nit like brightness variation, which is just insane.
I think it was what like 300 zones or something.
And like everything has to happen within less than 7 milliseconds, right?
The thing that really impresses me, and I appreciate it because it's really the way that we as a company kind of approach things too, is like if we're doing something like our chairs, for example, like we're going to have a chair, we're not willing to half-ass like the experience. No. Like NVIDIA takes this stuff so seriously. They're measuring like they have hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment just to measure brightness variation, whether or not the panel's totally flat.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Well, when you make like really high quality product like that, a lot goes into it, and you can't cut corners and still make a very high quality product.
No.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's why I can recommend that, like, especially after seeing this, if you're looking for a monitor, if it says the word G-Sync on it or G-Sync Ultimate, mm-hmm. you know you are getting an incredible display.
Yeah.
I never expected that they would test. I figured they would like test like the response rate and whether or not the G-Sync portion of the screen was working. I never expected they would test things like color accuracy and brightness accuracy and like contrast levels. And they have so many guidelines that are just about display quality outside of G-Sync. I wish NVIDIA would test every single monitor.
And just give it like a rating?
Seriously.
Or a pass-fail?
If it was like, oh, this is an NVIDIA-approved monitor, because the amount of testing that they do, I would be able to buy in confidence and know, okay, like this display, regardless of what I'm doing with it, is going to be amazing.
Great, yeah.
So definitely check out his video. It's like 14 minutes long. It's very technical, but it just gives you such an insight into what goes behind. And I know when it comes to things like GeForce Experience and testing performance of games, like there's so much more that NVIDIA does in the back end that makes your experience with their graphics cards better than like almost anything else.
Well, and I know that when a lot of people configure computers too, they'll go all out on the graphics card because they want to get, you know, the best of the best, but then they run out of money, and so they buy like, you know, some 60 hertz super laggy monitor.
Yep.
And then you don't get all those benefits.
Yep. So definitely check that out. And if you are ordering a Minger PC, definitely check out a G-Sync screen with it, because it's amazing.
It's a game changer.
Cool. So next is we have another Windows update, which makes me a little nervous.
As always.
But Microsoft is, so Windows 10, I guess May update. Microsoft is apparently rolling it out.
Which means it'll probably be safe to download in August.
Well, hopefully.
They're rolling it out slowly. Okay.
Right. Which is good.
They're not mass rolling it out. Mm-hmm. It's got some pretty cool features. The one that you're seeing the most touted is the light mode, which I don't particularly care for, especially after last week talking about how I always prefer a dark mode.
But which I prefer dark mode, but this is pretty cool.
It looks
light mode is pretty.
It's done
nice.
Right.
Right.
It is done
right.
It
it's not just right. White.
It's like a frosted glass kind of look, which I think is really nice.
It does look nice. The thing that I'm most excited about is separating Cortana out of Windows Search.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so driven good. Me crazy for the longest time.
You don't want to hear Cortana's voice every time you turn your computer on?
Or when you,
I mean,
you
I
hit,
haven't even
you hit the Windows Search button and like it's in that weird mode where instead it basically does a Bing search. Yeah. Of,
and you
like,
just
want to
find your
for.
Like Word document.
Yeah. Like so old school turn in your Windows homework. XP, Windows.
I want to hit Windows. I want to type in NOT, and yeah. I want Notepad to open.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
I don't want it to search for not on Bing.
Yeah.
So thankfully they've separated that out. They added a sandbox mode,
which is
for
interesting.
Testing apps.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So if you download some weird app to do something slightly shady, and you don't want to get a virus on your PC.
Oh, you can like. You can restrict it in the sandbox. That's
get
cool.
An attachment file that you want to check for
yeah.
somewhere else.
So it basically that's awesome. It sandboxed yeah. it from the rest yeah. of an OS, which is amazing. They added more granular controls for Windows updates as well.
Yep. Which is good.
Which is good, especially considering how we opened this up. I saw an article that did a gaming performance. I don't remember. It might have been Tech Power Up between the two, and it looked like. Most games were within like a 2 to 4% variance in up or down.
Right.
Most games were a slightly better performance with this update as well.
Yeah. Another part of the update, which was the Xbox Game Bar, is being improved.
Oh, I forgot about that. The thing that I never use.
Yeah. So the thing with the Xbox Game Bar, well, they added Spotify to it, which I think is awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
And more like you can make memes really quickly and GIFs out of your broadcast clips.
Okay.
So that's
so it has a meme button.
But the Game Bar, because I play with a lot of friends who are still on Xbox on console, has gotten to the point where if you're playing one of those cross-platform games, it's like no problem. If you need to not use Discord and need to use Xbox Live Chat, it's gotten really good.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool, at least. Hopefully, this is like a nice, solid update. I've been kind of recommending always install security updates, but these feature updates may be waiting a smidge.
Yeah, just wait for the news to come out.
Although they've been pretty good about, like, if there was a problem, pulling very quickly. So
yeah.
I think this... I'm confident. I'm probably going to regret saying this. I'm confident this update's not going to have any problems.
You heard it here first, folks. Minger on the bench.
So we got it. So next week, I think it's next week, or maybe it's
Ron.
Like
Ron does not speak on behalf of the RMA department, by the way.
I do not. So Computex is starting like any day now.
Yeah, next week.
Computex is like a PC show in Taiwan, right?
Yes, yeah, computer expo.
And every year we get some cool announcements from hardware companies. We got a tease from NVIDIA.
It's kind of like the E3 for hardware.
Yeah,
computer yeah, hardware. You could say that.
It's like we have CES for like more standard consumer electronics,
and then PC January, hardware,
and then pure like really nerdy hardware is yeah. Computex.
Mm-hmm.
So NVIDIA teased a maybe just play the tease.
Yeah.
There's not much to it.
It's a short tease.
It's a very short tease.
Yeah,
here
so
we go.
You guys,
I'm going to be quiet.
Yeah.
Let me turn on the volume here. Maybe there isn't any volume.
I think there was.
I think I've
there's probably a song.
Browser. Oh, there is a song.
So, just teased Super. no context.
Oh, there's Linus video. There you go. Perfect.
Hey, at least that's what auto.
Yeah, right.
Instead of some thank random goodness. Person.
I was just so enthralled by all the RTX on that logo there.
They literally haven't said there's nothing. Nothing at all. It's just
super.
Just super. So we'll have to see. I almost wasn't going to talk about this because there's literally really nothing to talk about. But I guess hype. NVIDIA is going to be announcing something at Computex, something with the word super. We'll have to see. There's a lot of crazy rumors coming out of Computex when it comes from everyone. So I am officially hyped. I think this is going to be a big year for big players at Computex based on all the announced keynotes and what we're kind of seeing. We'll definitely do next week. Will kind of be a Computex wrap up. So we'll
that'd be perfect.
Yeah, that would be.
We'll probably spend the whole stream going over our thoughts on what was announced and what that kind of means for the future of PC gaming. Hype, man. Hype. This is a bad week for Huawei.
Yes.
Well,
or 2 weeks.
I mean, it's been coming, but this is really, really bad.
I'm doing the research for this show, and I'm going through articles, and it was like
every day.
Every other article was about someone pulling support from Huawei.
Executive orders change lives, people.
So, Huawei, who makes pretty good.
Oh, actually,
like,
I'd say excellent phones.
Excellent phones.
Yeah.
Excellent
phones that you can't buy in the U.S.
If we're talking on paint jobs alone, the coolest phones.
So they make very cool, like, innovative Android phones. They've been pushing the form factor and they've been the first to innovate on some things like smaller bezels and, they seem to release like 800 phones a year. They have stuff that is, premium, but in like the affordable price range if you're looking for an unlocked phone.
Yep.
So there's an executive order that came down that put them on like the ban list for the U.S. There's been a lot of concerns over like domestic spying and stuff in their hardware.
Yeah.
And then just the deluge of companies pulling support from them. I mean, I guess you have to.
Well,
if you're a U.S. company.
Or else go to court.
ARM, Google, Microsoft, the SD Coalition, Qualcomm.
Because the order, it refuses any business to be done
from
a U.S.-based company.
Now, Google did say they're not pulling support for phones that exist.
That's good.
They're not going to like retroactively ban Google apps from those devices.
But you might stop receiving updates, right?
I don't know if that was super clear. I think that they said they would still do security updates.
Okay.
As part of that. It's a bummer just because... What?
Well, I was going to say, because a lot of these things can change any day. Because initially the ban...
Well, because it's an executive order, so the Congress could...
No. I mean, like, for example, the ban on Huawei on Google was hard. Like, you can't do anything. Yeah. With Huawei, and then it changed the next day where, hey, we can do a little bit of something for you guys still.
So it's kind of a running story.
Right. It will most likely change again.
It
because apparently it happened before with ZTE. ZTE is another Chinese.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Right. And then the ban got lifted, I don't know how long after, and then it everything went back to normal.
It's a bummer just because they do so much stuff in this space.
Mm-hmm.
They've been pushing phone designs forward.
Forward, right.
And even though I have a Google Pixel, I honestly probably unless Google really screws up like their Pixel format, I'm probably like a Google Pixel guy going forward just because.
Right.
The software support and the updates and stuff like that. But it's always important to have companies kind of iterating a lot and pushing designs forward. No,
competition is like vital to the marketplace moving forward.
My friend has a Xiaomi Mi Max, the one with like no bezels.
Oh, I love that.
Beautiful. So it's great to have those options. So just kind of a bummer. I'm sure like there's going to be like 800 more items about But speaking about innovative in phones, Best Buy canceled their Galaxy Fold pre-orders.
Which, it's a bad week for phones.
Well, people. I mean, that's, you see that coming after what happened.
It was a bit of a dumpster fire.
Yeah. Well.
No, no, okay, not a
not a bit,
not a so, traditional Samsung dumpster fire, but
well, not okay, not that one.
So, what are your opinions on folding display panels to begin with?
Okay, so it's dumb,
right? So I love it.
Here's the thing for me that bugs me. The form factor of the device unfolded does not make any sense.
Talking about the Samsung Fold. Yeah, yes. No, it's like a square.
It's right. It's like an Instagram like box, and
great for viewing Instagram photos.
Like it's not, you know, a tablet I want to watch. For example, I have an NVIDIA Shield tablet, and when I travel, I sync like offline Netflix videos to it, and I watch the movies on my tablet.
Yeah.
Like, what am I gonna do with this weird square? I don't think the screen actually usably gets any bigger for the thing you want on bigger screens, which is video.
Yeah.
Well, because of the aspect ratio.
And then there's this giant crease in the middle of it, right?
Well, that, you know, it's not even, that's like the dumbest part. It's
so going back to Huawei real quick. Huawei was the other company that brought in the foldable phone.
Yeah.
And their Mate X was actually really beautiful. And because they fold it in a different way, they fold it up with the fold on the outside.
So it could definitely be done good.
Right.
Done good.
It just, for me, well. It feels kind of like 3D in a way.
Yes. So this is my opinion on it. So that it's good to push technology to see where we can take things. But folding displays is kind of like 3D in movies, where it's like, cool, I hate it. Don't ever do it again. You know? And like, there's some movies where it's like really cool and what they do with the movie, and it's good.
It's when you do things right and not just for the gimmick.
Yeah, but like, I don't see folding phones being 100% of the future, like a touch display is right now.
Something new, like somebody's got to start somewhere.
It's cool to show that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's just I don't know. I think foldable displays are interesting outside of phones, like things like wearables or
that the LG TV that rolled up. That rolls. That's cool. Yep. See, that's good innovation of that. Yeah.
I totally agree. Minor Incident said he can't wait to get a transparent display like Sci-Fi's.
Sci-Fi. Actually, that would.
When are you going to get that soon?
I would hate to be a UI designer when those come out.
I'm not super excited about it. I really didn't like Samsung's implementation.
Oh, definitely not the way they did it.
The form factor was just so awkward.
Now, if Motorola came out with the Razr,
that's what. Right.
Everybody would be losing their mind.
So they
right?
announced something.
They did.
Mostly from just nostalgia, but
there's a
no. They announced.
There was also like a laptop that was announced, which I thought it was funny because the headline was like, "What if your laptop could fold in half?" And I was like, "Wait a minute.
Maybe disable AdBlock.
Isn't that what laptops do?"
was this a fake?
No. Which one?
I think it might have been fake. A mock-up.
I think it was a mock-up. Because it says huge leak might show as Motorola's foldable phone.
Yeah.
I think this was fake. Man, I wanted a Razr so bad when they first came out.
But at the same time, does it add like any value to it? Like, take the Nintendo DS, for example. Would there actually be added value in that being a single screen? Like, maybe.
It's cool. It's added cool factor.
Yeah.
The Motorola Razr looks interesting because it's a feature, like it folds into like nothing. So there's like a video of it, Brent, if you could find it.
It will have the same, if it folds the way it folds, it'll have the same issue as the Galaxy Fold.
It looks like it's going to be worse because this mock-up shows it closing all the way.
Right, yeah. Which is not possible unless that's a sharp bend.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the tech's not there, but it's cool to see innovation.
I agree.
No, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
And one more thing about Samsung. They showed off an insane technology.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have the video, Brent. But
what it's called?
Samsung Deepfake AI.
Yeah. Or you could look up for Mona Lisa Deepfake.
There we go.
Apparently, the Huawei ban has been delayed for 90 days.
There you go. That's what I meant. I think that's why Google could do what they need.
And while we're waiting for that, Flykiller asks, I have an i5, 1060, 6GB, and a 16GB of RAM. Is that good? Just curious. Great for 1080p gaming. I think you'll, if you want to be able to game at higher resolutions, you want a better graphics card. So
this is deepfake.
This is ridiculous. Right. So you got to find the Samsung one. Okay.
This is it.
No, so they have one.
Did they do it like a promo video?
Samsung apparently has technology to do basically a fake video from a picture. Like a single, they did one with like a painting.
So they did a Mona Lisa.
Brent, I will send you the link if I can find it on my PC. Let's see.
Yeah, fine.
You found it?
This is great radio content, by the way.
This is great radio content. But basically, they're able to create a video of someone talking based on a single frame of a photo. Creepy. Like, super, super, super creepy. I think there was, like, a GIF of it in the article that I saw.
Hang on. Don't use
but
that.
It,
Ron, you probably have a better one.
It.
Mine is not good.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. Okay. It creates living portraits. Essentially, and it's nuts. It is so crazy looking.
So that's insane.
So basically, they take a bunch of pictures of the same
person
in different angles.
I mean, maybe. There's still a little bit of artifacting.
No, of course, it's not perfect, but
pretty nuts.
It's very.
Yeah. We'll get to the point where, like, on the bench is just going to be us writing out a script and like robot, like fake. Brent, Ron, Wallace, and Sean talk about it. Like,
just say nonsense.
It's super, super, super creepy.
No, these things are getting risky.
Yeah, what's the legal implications of that in a court?
Right.
You know? No, it's.
I remember
crazy.
When Adobe.
Sounds like a Black Mirror episode.
Adobe's Adobe. Where they can make you say anything if they have 2 minutes of your voice. Yeah, that's creepy.
Which is, that's very dangerous.
I know.
Did they ever release
that?
I don't think
no.
I think they.
I feel
like this is a bad idea.
I feel like the software needs to build like a watermark in that can't be removed.
Yeah,
it's
if you had a digital
or something
signal
like that. So some gaming news this week, and then we'll kind of wrap our show up. Valve released Steam Chat for iOS and Android. Basically, if you don't want to have like the full, Blizzard has this as well. Like, if you don't want the full.
Software.
Like full software. It's just a pure chat app. So you can have another chat app on your phone.
But why
chat apps.
But why wouldn't you just use Discord?
Because because I want my friends to be able to reach me regardless of how they I understand.
You're chat inclusive.
I understand.
Do you have count of how many chat apps you have on your phone?
So on my phone, it's probably like 15.
Do we have more chat apps or game launchers at this point?
Chat apps, definitely.
Probably chat apps. It's ridiculous.
I have messages, Messenger, WhatsApp.
What do I got in here?
Discord, Slack. What else? Teams. God, I don't remember.
Duo, Steam Chat.
Steam Chat.
You'll have Steam Chat. I have Battle.net chat on my phone.
I don't have that. Yeah, because I don't.
Twitter.
I have I have the PlayStation chat installed on my phone for some reason.
Oh, yeah, I got there Xbox
go.
On there.
So you're already at 10.
I should probably just like.
And YouTube, the YouTube app allows you to direct message people now, too.
Oh, my God. My wife did it the other day.
Did it freak you out?
I'm using my phone, and it's like, you got a friend request on YouTube. I'm like, what? And I guess my wife wanted to share a video with me, and it suggested her friend requesting me on YouTube.
Yes.
So now we're friends on YouTube.
Not spouses, just friends.
Yeah, just friends.
Instagram, too. Forgot about Instagram.
I couldn't.
So I kind of want, but talking about this, I kind of want, there was a really good feature on Windows Phone, probably one of the only good things about Windows Phone. Is that it would mix text messaging and your Facebook Messenger with once you had the content.
You can still do that on Android.
But just like, I just want that for like
everything.
I know.
Oh, I just have one.
Just
central.
Like, this is all my communication
well,
with this
it,
person.
It used to be so easy. I remember using like Trillium or or Pigeon, which was an open source chat application, and you could have like AIM, Yahoo Messenger, MSM, ICQ.
Yeah, all in one.
All in one app.
Just so like, no matter what anybody wants to use with me, I can just.
I know.
And it chooses their preferred platform.
The problem is nobody WhatsApp. All of the platforms are walled gardens because they want you stuck in the ecosystem and they're not going to open it up.
And encryption is a big thing nowadays too, yeah. Which just complicates everything.
Nah, who needs encryption?
I mean, ideally every
open to the public.
You're all SMS.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. But yeah, it's super frustrating, like
speaking of SMS.
So add Steam to the list.
Add Steam to the list. An anti-loot box bill is gathering support in the Senate. So basically, they're trying to kind of ban loot boxes,
but
in games.
Only for children's games or games targeted or loot boxes targeted towards children.
So is it
what? How
which
is
what?
What P?
So like, if a game is rated mature, it doesn't count.
So it's looser than that, right?
So if it's mature, but it's targeted towards...
Like, does Overwatch count because it's colorful? Or does Fortnite count?
Fortnite definitely counts.
Right. Right.
But then, like, FIFA could also count.
Yeah.
I looked at the actual, like, bill, and, like, it's just, like, all over the place, which is why it's...
Because they don't understand video games, and this is the problem every single time anything like this comes up.
Which my recommendation would be, hey, if you're going to... keep it out of children. Let's go by the already established rating system. Just be like, if it's rated below M, then yeah, that's a good qualifier.
I think that's the simplest thing. Yeah. Although that's a little tough. So like, I understand the need for a developer to monetize a game post-release in order to continually update it. We're in a situation now with video games where look at like Fortnite or No Man's Sky, for example, where you know, a game is a living, breathing kind of thing.
Everything's a service nowadays.
And so you need to fund that. You can't just, like, sell the game for $60 and then, how come there's no more content? Like
for example, pay $40 for DLC.
Right. In, even in Division 2, like, every time I get an update, now something changes and the world sort of changes.
Right.
Like, so
well, and there are... I'm going to regret saying this, but there are consumer benefits to microtransactions. Take Apex Legends, for example.
Yeah.
I haven't spent a dime on that game, but I got to totally experience and try it and see if it was right for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's tough. So of course they can go in the direction of making these items just purchasable.
But I don't think you should be targeting children.
You definitely shouldn't be targeting children. I wonder if maybe there's a way to parental control the console so that you can ban an account from having access to microtransactions.
Kind of like what iOS had to do a while back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So that essentially, a game that was rated...
Yeah, just do it on a console level. That's way better.
And then just be like, okay, well, you can play this game because you're 15 years old, but you can't access the...
Because the console already has, like, purchase restrictions on parental controls and stuff like that. Right. So just micromanage it. Maybe... I want my kid to be able to buy games, but not blow all their money in microtransactions.
I think there's some definitely room to do better. I know. I think it's in China that they force game developers to show the odds of a microtransaction.
Yeah,
so that they show your chance of getting an item, which...
Does the number just, like, roll off the screen? Because it's, like, 1 to 1 quadrillion.
Well, even Apex Legends has that, right? Like... I remember some guy talking about him intentionally purchasing a certain amount of loot boxes because he knows that at this number, you will get a legendary.
Right, right.
But then it's also muddied, right? Because their claim in this bill is that it's akin to gambling.
Right.
And the gambling age is 21.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Not 18.
Not 18. Right.
So, like... This is very messy, so I don't see the bill going through just because it doesn't.
I mean,
it's not on the right grounds.
Is me going to the card shop to buy a pack of Magic cards gambling?
You're taking a chance there.
Is it? But is that?
But when you open that pack of Magic cards, it doesn't explode with confetti and lights everywhere at the same time too. So there's some psychological.
And
thing
Jake mentioned blind box toys, which are super targeted to kids.
Yeah, that's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. you go to like Walmart or Target and there's
a full aisle.
Yeah, and there's like even like I haven't been sucked into this. They have like the Mario toys, yeah. And you're like, you know, Bowser's in one of them, but you're gonna buy it 20 of them before you get it.
It's tough. I'd like to see a little bit more control. I'm one of those people who gets a little antsy anytime they're talking about regulating gaming too heavily. Like,
but it did get
well. It's just get some specialists in there that know what they're talking about. Yeah. Get people that play games that are familiar with the industry and the space, and so it's not just this kind of like witch hunt kind of thing that goes crazy.
And Chris asked about Oculus Quest. We actually talked about that last week, Chris. We did like a little VR segment about it. So, I mean, I play Hearthstone, and that's kind of loot boxy, like you're opening packs.
Oh, absolutely.
They do a decent job of at least like I know that the legendary is on a 40 card timer, and so or 40 pack timer. So I'll get a legendary every 40 packs at minimum. They publish all of the card rates. So you have a better idea what your odds are.
Overwatch, Blizzard's been actually pretty good with this too, in that with the Overwatch anniversary update, if you choose to buy the loot boxes, there's certain tiers that you'll get a guaranteed special loot box that comes with two legendaries.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. So like you have to spend $35 or something.
Overwatch's
but
boxes make me the most mad because there's the most stuff I don't want in them.
Like tags and voice like lines.
It frustrates me. Yeah. One or two more things. Overwatch is now going to let you rewatch your matches from any perspective, so you can control.
So
the
this
camera.
This is in PTR right
this
now.
This is currently in PTR. Yeah. Yep.
Which
that's
is cool.
Pretty, that's super cool. Yeah.
So you can go back and see if that person actually did snipe you through that wall or not.
Which be a little bit less angry.
Yeah.
Is that post-match or is it?
It has to be post-match.
It's post-match. Okay. It's 10 of your most recent matches that you can watch and read.
But this is really cool because Overwatch already has a like play of the game or highlight export feature, and you can like go in there and crank the settings to max and export it 4K, and it just takes a while.
That's super cool.
So from like a Overwatch machinima standpoint, this could be really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be it for the week. We reached our hour. Thank you all for watching. For those of you who tuned in for the first time, we do this live stream every single Friday at 5:30 where we talk about what's interesting to us. If you're interested in a Main Gear PC, we have our Memorial Day sale, up to $250 off a Main Gear desktop, and a flash sale of $50 off our Enthusiast Pre-Config Vibes that ship in 2 days, now starting at $649. So if you're looking to get a PC, that's a great way to do it. We also have two giveaways going, one with Jay Viper, our streamer of the week, and we also have an i9-9900K that we're giving away at maingear.com/i9giveaway. Brent, I know you're doing another...
Well, you missed one thing.
What?
Our chairs are shipping for free.
Our chairs are also shipping for free, so if you want a Main Gear chair, you can order on our website and get free ground shipping in the United States. And Brent, you're doing another live stream next week. You want to tell everyone about it?
Yes. So every first and third Wednesday of the month, Nick and I play a video game. Nick has... yeah, right? It's a great description. Nick is a gamer, but he fell out of it for about like 10 to 15 years or so.
Which is a long time.
And
he
so,
was in a coma. He
so, yes... Last week we played Portal and I made it through.
Do you even remember what game was out 10, 15 years ago?
Portal?
No.
No, Portal's only like 2006.
Really? That's
or 2010.
That's 15 years ago.
I guess so. It's like I have to use console generation.
It was the first PC game I played.
We're talking like original Xbox.
Portal is 2007.
2007, which
it's close
is
enough,
which
I guess.
Is
yeah,
which is 12 years. Okay, guys, I'm not totally so off. What's the next game? Chad is asking what the next
what
game
the
is.
Next game is. I don't know. Nick only knows that information to keep it spicy.
So,
but
he's
not telling you.
He's don't going you I can't only, remember.
Wouldn't it be only you know?
I don't want to make any promises.
Brent, I think you forgot about how your show works.
Yes, I do.
I would imagine that you're not telling me.
I'd be berated.
Shouldn't you be controlling?
I would imagine that you don't know what it is.
We will play a game that is newer than Portal 2. How about that? Ooh. I can guarantee that.
Well, okay. Portal 2 is awesome.
You'll just have to come and watch to find out.
I want
to
watch Nick, without any instruction, play Civ.
That Civ or Sim?
So Civ. Which one? Civ. 5 or 6?
It doesn't matter.
Any Civ is difficult.
You haven't played 6 then. We'll play Civ 5.
I've only played... I've played a lot of Civ 5.
Okay, 5's good.
Okay, six is bad?
Yeah, 6 is okay.
It's different. Yeah, we'll give it that.
Half of my Steam library is just Civ 5 add-ons. There's like 80 of them.
Oh, yeah. You got the like super pack?
I've gotten it several times across different platforms where it just added more stuff in. Like, oh, there's like religion now.
Oh, did you know that The Sims is still going on forever?
You can get The Sims for free.
Yeah, but all the add-ons are insane.
Sims 4 for free on Origin right now.
They did really ridiculous things in... You want your child to learn. There's a learning add-on.
I almost want... us to just get
they like
all
becoming
the
second life all over again.
Yeah, no, essentially it is.
Well, and then they kill it every single time that they like come out with a new one, and then they resell college, date night, bowling.
Oh, now it's I don't know.
Not part of the date night package. The bowling one.
Half the fun is watching.
Okay,
Nick
this
and
show's
nonstop talking.
Going off the rails. So if you want to watch Oblivious with Nick, that is Wednesday at 5:30 or 7:30. We haven't chosen yet.
I will definitely tune in, and then definitely tune in next week. Follow us on all of our social media, so we post beautiful PC pics, memes.
It's at Mangear or /Mangear on everything.
And definitely check out the rest of our YouTube channel. We have a lot of cool content. We're going to be launching a major giveaway or a really cool giveaway next week. Can't talk about what it is, but should be like Tuesday or Wednesday.
I remember what you're talking about. It's going to be good.
This is going to be exciting. So definitely follow us on social media if you're interested. This is a very different thing that we're doing, and I'm pretty pumped about it. And if you have any suggestions about this podcast stream situation we got going on here, I don't know what to call it anymore. The show.
The show. There you go.
If you have any feedback or anything that you'd like us to do, just let us know. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Later.
Peace. Bye.